Aside from our salvation and the wondrous gift of eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord, the most precious gifts from God are close and faithful brothers and sisters in Christ who stand with us and encourage us through the struggles of life in this world. If there's one thing we should recognize about the Christian life, it is that it was never intended to be lived in isolation. Christ redeems to himself a group of followers whom he places within his church, his body on earth, with the intention that they would live together in rich, meaningful, life-to-life fellowship with one another. The New Testament is full of teaching which instructs us on how to encourage and edify and bless one another. The Bible contains dozens of one another imperative commands, including love one another, be devoted to one another, give preference to one another, forgive one another, pursue the things which make for peace and the building up of one another, accept one another, admonish one another, have the same care for one another, serve one another, bear one another's burdens, be kind to one another, speak to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, be subject to one another, comfort one another, encourage one another, build up one another, stimulate one another to love and good deeds. And the list could go on and on. The biblical term we use to describe the proper interaction between people in this Christian life is fellowship. While in many places just the mention of that word makes people begin to salivate and their stomachs begin to growl, the word means a lot more than just having a meal together as a church. The Greek word from which we get the word fellowship is koinonia, and it literally refers to an intimate sharing of life with one another. In Acts chapter 2, verse 42, we find that the early church was continually devoted to four things: the apostles' teaching, and to fellowship, and to the breaking of bread, and to prayer. And then you find in Acts real life examples of how many sold their possessions and brought the proceeds to the apostles for distribution to those in need. Our own church mission statement here at Grace Bible Church proclaims our commitment to, quote, embrace one another in true biblical fellowship. In the passage that we're going to study today from Luke chapter 1, 39 to 45, we will find an excellent example of biblical fellowship involving Mary, the soon-to-be mother of Jesus, and Elizabeth, the even sooner-to-be mother of John the Baptist. Just by way of review, we've been studying Luke verse by verse, and we've seen how God has been revealing His plan to use these two women to bring into the world His plan of salvation. Mary's going to give birth to the Messiah, Elizabeth birth to the forerunner to the Messiah, John the Baptist. God is preparing to invade humanity and bring salvation, and He's chosen these two women for special roles. And because these two women were related, it seems only natural that once the revelation to Mary had been given, that she would want to go see Elizabeth and spend time with someone who could relate to the work that God was doing in her life. You know, every Christian who surrenders to the will of God, as Mary did, as we learned last week, everyone who says yes to the hard things that God sometimes calls us to, everyone who has the strength of faith to look beyond the circumstances and believe in the omnipotence of God, each one of us who are willing to say yes to God will be greatly blessed if there are Spirit-filled friends who can encourage us through the challenges associated with doing the will of God. We all need people that we can turn to who can help us and encourage us the way that Elizabeth encouraged Mary and Mary encouraged Elizabeth. God always works through people. When He gets ready to minister to someone, He invariably works through another person. The reality is that God saved you and me in order that He might use us to be a blessing to someone else. And he saved others in order that he might use others to be a blessing to you and to me. We are to be blessings to each other. And if you can't identify others who have been blessings to you, or if you aren't aware of any who may say that you have been a blessing to them, you may well be living a far too reclusive life as a Christian. In the passage that we're going to study today, we find two women who were certainly mutual blessings to each other. So let's read this passage beginning in verse 39 of Luke chapter 1. Now, at this time, Mary arose and went in a hurry to the hill country, to a city of Judah, and entered the house of Zacharias and greeted Elizabeth. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the baby leapt in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. And she cried out with a loud voice and said, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. And how has it happened to me that the mother of my Lord would come to me? For behold, when the sound of your greeting reached my ears, the baby leapt in my womb for joy. And blessed is she who believed that there would be a fulfillment of what had been spoken to her by the Lord." In this passage today, we will learn how to identify the kind of person who can be one of God's greatest blessings in our lives. And we've got a twofold reason for learning this. First, as we go through this, you should be able to identify those in your life who are like one of these two women. If you do, I would encourage you to reach out to them and thank them for the blessing that they've been to you. But secondly, we could probably all learn a little something about becoming more of a person who God can use to bless and encourage others. What we learn about these two women, hopefully we can identify areas where we should be emulating them. So from this passage, what kind of people are God's greatest blessings to others? First, I think it's easy to see that God's greatest blessings begin with someone who's just available when someone needs another person to turn to. Look at verses 39 to 40. At this time, Mary arose and went to the hill country. Went in a hurry to the hill country, a city of Judah, and entered the house of Zacharias and greeted Elizabeth. Luke tells us that immediately, probably within just a few days after Gabriel's appearance to her, that Mary embarked on a 3 to 4 day journey from Galilee to the hill country near a city of Judah. This was likely somewhere around Jerusalem. This would have been a highly unusual journey for a young girl to make alone, but Luke gives us no reason to believe anyone else went with her. The idea that she arose and went in a hurry indicates that she pretty much dropped everything to make the trip to see Elizabeth. We know from this account that Mary stayed with Elizabeth for 3 months. Elizabeth was in her 6th month when Mary arrived, so we can assume that she left shortly before the birth of John the Baptist. We can also assume that Mary's already pregnant at this time. And it's doubtful that Joseph had been informed of this fact. We don't see anything except when Mary received the news of her own pregnancy, she arose and went quickly to see Elizabeth. And as we put these things together, the events together chronologically and balance them out with or reconcile them to the account of Matthew, I think what happened was Mary found out she was going to have the Christ child. She arose and spent 3 months with Elizabeth. And then by the time she returned 3 months later, the physical evidence of her pregnancy would begin to manifest itself. At this time, she revealed to Joseph that she was pregnant. And then Matthew chapter 1 gives us the account of Joseph's struggle with what to do in light of the obvious fact that Mary was with child. Well, why would Mary want to go to Elizabeth? Why would she make this difficult and dangerous journey alone? Why would she stay 3 months? Well, Luke doesn't give us exactly the answers to these questions, but I would guess that in Mary's situation, she just needed some place to go. Someone she could turn to who might understand what she's facing and someone who could help her gain some perspective. It's important to have someone that we can turn to. Elizabeth was available when Mary needed someone. Obviously, Mary couldn't pick up the phone and warn Elizabeth that she'd be there in a few days. She couldn't text or email and ask if it was okay if she dropped by for a 3-month stay. She packed her stuff and took off, knowing that when she got there, she would find an open door and a safe place where she could spend some time. She would find someone with whom she could share her joy. She would find someone who would help her sort out the things that was happening to her. Someone who also had experienced a miracle of God in her life. How important is it for us as Christians to have those people in our lives that we can turn to no matter what time of day or night, no matter what circumstances we face, we will find their door is always open. These people are gifts from God in our lives. They give evidence of their love for us by being available when we need them. This may have been a two-way blessing for Mary and Elizabeth. Some of you women who've experienced pregnancy from the 6th to 9th month would probably amen this fact. How much help do you think Mary probably was to Elizabeth during those 3 months? It might have been part of Mary's motivation to go and just help out Elizabeth. After all, she's not exactly a spring chicken. She's pregnant well past childbearing years. This is probably a little tougher on her than most women in her condition. And having Mary around during those 3 months was no doubt a huge blessing to Elizabeth. The point is simple. Elizabeth was available to Mary. Mary was available to Elizabeth. Is there someone in your life like that? Is there someone that you can call and you know they'll be available? Are you that someone to others? Are you available when others need someone on whom they can count? These are the kinds of people who are among God's greatest blessings to others. Now, I can't move on to the next point until I touch on something else. Are you the kind of person who willingly and eagerly accepts help from others who are available and want to help? You know, in our church, when there's a need in this fellowship, there's always been a church full of people who are willing to step up and meet that need. It's inconceivable to me that anybody who knew about a need in this fellowship would look at that need and say, "No, I'm not interested in helping." That just doesn't happen around here. In fact, I've never seen it happen in my 23 years in this church. But I have seen some of us who might need help, we might need someone to come alongside, and we're just not willing to ask. This is just as detrimental to real fellowship as saying no when someone has a need. It's a different way of saying no to another in need. It's keeping your needs to yourself and robbing others of the blessings to serve and minister and help and bless and encourage you. Those who want to bless others need avenues and opportunities to bless. And when we won't allow them to do what God wants them to do, we are robbing them of blessings. We all need to be for one another people who are available. Second, it's good to have somebody who's available. But it's even better when we find someone who can relate to our situation and understand what we're experiencing. These are true blessings from God. Not only was Elizabeth's door open, but she could probably come closer to anyone else on earth as able to relate to Mary's situation and understand what Mary was experiencing. Elizabeth had been the beneficiary of a miraculous pregnancy herself. It was different, but nonetheless, a miraculous pregnancy. Both women were chosen of God and being used of God at this time in this important pivotal point in human history as a part of God's greatest work. Both of these women had been made aware of this fact. And Elizabeth, probably better than anybody else on earth, could relate to Mary's situation and understand what she was going through, and help her sort out what God was doing. She could help calm Mary's concerns about revealing her pregnancy to Joseph. Elizabeth was such an encouragement to Mary. You know, it's one thing to have a safe place to go where you know the door is always open. It's another thing to have someone on the other side of that door who can relate to your situation and understand what you're going through. These are true blessings from God, and they minister to us like no one else can. Elizabeth was the one person Mary could share her story with and know that she's going to believe what had happened. Everyone else was going to look at her like she was crazy as she tried to explain how she got pregnant. They're going to believe that she's just trying to cover up her immorality and the resulting pregnancy. People who will listen, who believe us, who understand our situations are among God's greatest blessings in our lives. You know, the older I get and the more of life I experience, the more I embrace the sovereignty of God. I know God is sovereign in the way He ordains the paths of His people, and He knows exactly what we are going through. And He puts those people in our lives, people who cross our paths, who are exactly what we need at that time. He brings across our paths sovereignly those who can bless us, who can encourage us, who can challenge us, who can rebuke us, and who can help us. There's a reason that Gabriel told Mary about Elizabeth's pregnancy. He didn't say, go and see her, but he knew, and God knew, that by telling her, she would go, and that when she went, she would find someone who could relate to her situation and understand what she was experiencing. This is exactly what Mary needed at this time. We all need people who can understand our situations, relate to our situations, and help us gain some perspective. Third, people who are filled with God's Spirit are among the greatest blessings in our lives. Look at verse 41. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the baby leapt in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. It was as if God was confirming Mary's story to Elizabeth. Certainly, Mary's greeting involved more than a simple, "Hi, how are you?" In her excitement to see Elizabeth, I'm sure she did not wait to tell Elizabeth of Gabriel's announcement. The response to Mary's news was emphatic. The baby leapt in Elizabeth's womb, and she was filled with the Holy Spirit. The significance of being filled with the Holy Spirit is that those to whom it happens in the Scripture are always found to be speaking a message from God. In 2 Samuel 23:2, David declared, "The Spirit of the Lord spoke by me, and His word was on my tongue." The activity most often related to the Holy Spirit filling a person in the Bible is that of delivering God's message. That was the emphasis in Luke chapter 1 that we will see in Luke chapter 1 verses 67 through 79 when the mouth of Zacharias was finally opened. He was filled with the Holy Spirit and he prophesied. This was the primary result of the apostles being filled with the Spirit on the day of Pentecost. When they were filled with the Spirit, Peter went out and preached the great sermon on the day of Pentecost. He delivered the message from God. And the words that we find Elizabeth speaking from verses 42 to 45 were the words that she spoke under the influence of the Holy Spirit. To be filled with the Holy Spirit is to be acting and speaking under His influence. Being filled with the Spirit isn't anything like Pentecostals tell us today. Those who are filled with the Holy Spirit today are those who are living and thinking and speaking biblically. The Holy Spirit is teaching them and guiding them unto the truth of God's revealed Word as we find it in the Scriptures. The Holy Spirit is the author of the Scriptures, and the message He inspires today is consistent with and directly from the Word of God. Additionally, the lives of these people will be a reflection of their belief in the truth of God's Word. Spirit-filled people think, speak, and live biblical lives. And the people who are God's greatest blessings are those who are available, those who can relate to our situation and understand what we're going through, but who will, under the influence of the Holy Spirit, speak God's truth appropriately into our lives. No matter what we're going through, no matter what God calls us to, there isn't anything more valuable to us than what God's Word says concerning our situation. People who can look into our lives and help us see how God's truth applies are truly great blessings from the Lord. It's never wise to run from someone who is speaking God's truth. Mary ran to the one who spoke to her God's truth. Fourth, people who deal with us in humility are among God's greatest blessings in our lives. I can't tie this point to any one specific word or verse in this passage, but it comes from a general observation. From the tone of her words, it's easy to see that Elizabeth is genuinely excited and happy on Mary's behalf. There isn't a hint of jealousy on her part. It's easy to see how there might could have been. Her son would be lesser in prominence to Mary's son. Her son was to be the forerunner, but Mary's son was to be the Messiah and the Savior of mankind. Elizabeth was far more mature. She had a lot more life experience. She had served the Lord faithfully for many more years than this young girl. And she might have thought she was more suited for the more important role. But there was none of this in Elizabeth. Elizabeth humbled herself before Mary. What a blessing it is to deal with people who are willing to consider others more important than themselves. These are people who do not merely look out for their own personal interests, but also the interests of others. What a blessing when you find someone who doesn't always have to make the topic of conversation themselves. Some of us struggle with this. I know that if I'm not careful, my favorite subject when I'm talking to you isn't likely to be you. It's probably going to be me. It's a sign of pride in our lives. What a blessing humble people are. Fifth, people who recognize and genuinely rejoice over God's work in your life are among God's greatest blessings. Look at what Elizabeth said to Mary in verse 42. And she cried out with a loud voice and said, "Blessed are you among women." The fact that she's crying out with a loud voice tells us she was genuinely excited over what God was doing in Mary's life, and she's truly rejoicing over it. What was she so excited about? She recognized the work of God in Mary's life to elevate her among women. Mary would be the only woman ever born among women who would have the privilege of giving birth to God's own son. If there was ever a great work that God was doing in another person, Elizabeth recognized that it was happening in Mary's life. And this woman who stood before her, she recognized as an elevated woman, and she genuinely rejoices over God's work in Mary's life. You see, we are blessed if we are a blessing to others. If we are able to look into their lives and see God working, and we're able to encourage them and be thankful for the work that God is doing in them. We're blessed if we have people in our lives who recognize the work of God in us and they are genuinely thankful for that work. We ought to be people who recognize, we're sensitive to the work of God in the lives of others. We recognize it and we genuinely rejoice. And then we can share with them, hey, it's really awesome to see what God is doing in you. There's another side to this. Sixth, people who are genuinely thankful for how God is using you in the lives of others are among God's greatest blessings. It's not only able to recognize what God is doing in you, but able to see how God is using you as a blessing in the, and your work in the lives of others. That's a true blessing. Look at what else Elizabeth said in verse 42. She said, "And blessed is the fruit of your womb." Elizabeth recognized that the fruit of Mary's womb would be her Savior and her Lord. She knew that God was using Mary and that through His use of Mary, He was going to work in the lives of many people as He brought the Redeemer of mankind into the world. Elizabeth was genuinely thankful for how God was using Mary in His plan of redemption. She said, "Blessed is the fruit of your womb." You know, I see a lot going on in this church. I see how God is using some of you in the lives of others in this fellowship. I see far more of it than ever. Of course, I see our fellowship facing more struggles, more physical challenges, more difficulties than ever. In times of need, there should be real ministry taking place. And there is. And I'm thankful for the way I see God using many of you in the lives of others, both in and outside this fellowship. We ought to all be people who are genuinely thankful for how God is using others in the lives of many. Seventh, people who let you know how God has used you in their own lives are among God's greatest blessings. Look at what Elizabeth tells Mary in verses 43 and 44. "And how has it happened to me that the mother of my Lord would come to me? For behold, when the sound of your greeting reached my ears, the baby leapt in my womb for joy." Elizabeth shared with Mary just how God was using her in Elizabeth's own life. She says, in essence, "How can it be that the mother of my Lord and Savior would come to me?" There's nothing Mary could have done that would have been a greater blessing to Elizabeth than to come and see her face to face and to bring her the wonderful news that Gabriel had given her. And Elizabeth was confirming to Mary that God was using Mary in her life. Mary confirmed everything God had revealed to Elizabeth. Elizabeth affirmed to Mary what a blessing it was to have God bring her Lord into the world. Both women were encouraged. Both were edified. Both were energized in their service to God. That's what happens when true biblical fellowship takes place. Everyone involved is encouraged and strengthened, equipped and edified and energized to keep on going and to keep doing the will of God. God uses us in the lives of others. He uses others in our lives. We should not be bashful about telling others how God has used them to bless us. There's one more point from verse 45. Finally, we see today that those who encourage you in the faith and remind you of God's faithfulness are among God's greatest blessings in life. Look at what Elizabeth told Mary in verse 45. She said, "And blessed is she who believed that there would be a fulfillment of what had been spoken to her by the Lord." The reference to what Mary believed is a reference to Mary's faith. Elizabeth encouraged Mary in her faith, and then she pointed to the promises of God that were made on Mary's behalf. We should not forget, Mary's in a difficult predicament. She's pregnant out of wedlock. At least she hasn't yet come together with her betrothed husband. She's never been with a man, but she has a baby. She's going to have a baby. She's got a very hard-to-believe answer as to how she got pregnant. The road ahead of her isn't necessarily going to be easy. She needed to be encouraged in the faith. And Elizabeth says to her, "Blessed is she who believed." And then She reminded Mary of God's faithfulness to keep His promises. She says, "Blessed is she who has believed that there would be a fulfillment of what had been spoken to her by the Lord." Sometimes that's what we all need. We need fellow believers, people of faith, who will come alongside us and encourage us to keep the faith and to remember the promises of God. Well, there you have it. A wonderful account of genuine biblical fellowship between two women. There was mutual encouragement and blessings. There were two believers worshiping the Lord together. Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit, and Mary was blessed by her Spirit-empowered words. These are wonderful examples of how we ought to be towards one another in biblical fellowship. We live in a world filled with challenges. We live in a world that continues under the domination of the evil one. We live in a world ravaged by sinful perversions, a world cloaked in darkness. Yet there is nothing closer to the realities of heaven than to be around praise-filled, Christ-exalting, mutually edifying fellowship between Christian brothers and sisters. If you don't like genuine biblical fellowship now, you probably won't enjoy heaven all that much. As we live out our relationship with God in this world and we seek to honor Him with our love and devotion to Him, let's not forget the greatest commandment. It tells us to love God with all our heart, mind, soul, and strength, and to love our neighbor as ourselves. God has given us one another that we might prove that our love for Him is real. So as you move out of 2013 and into 2014, let me encourage you to be the kind of person who is a great blessing to others. How do you do that? Be available. Be open to those to whom you can relate and understand their situations. Be filled with God's Spirit and give evidence of that filling by the way you think, speak, and live. Be humble toward others. Be one who genuinely rejoices over the work of God in the lives of others. Be one who is genuinely thankful for the work that God is doing through others. Be willing to let others know how God is working through them in your own life. Tell them how God is using them to bless and encourage you. And finally, be one who encourages others in the faith and remind them of God's promises. If we'll do these things, we will truly be blessings to others. If we'll do these things with one another, among one another, to one another, we will truly be a church that enjoys biblical fellowship. These principles apply not only within the church, though, but they work well if you will apply them in your marriage, if you'll apply them in your relationships to friends, if you will apply them in your work, and if you will apply them in your witness. God will use you, and He'll be glorified in your life. Let's pray. Lord, thank You for the truth of Scripture. Thank You for the opportunity to open your wonderful Word. Thank You, God, for the example of Mary and Elizabeth and the time they spent together. Thank You for the example that it is to us of wonderful Christian fellowship. Help us to learn from these things, those things that will help us to glorify You in the way we live our lives in this world. Help us to help these truths to find a permanent home in our hearts as we seek to honor and glorify you. In the precious name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.